Good morning. Welcome to our Friday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We've been talking and praying this week about knowing the Bible, or more specifically about knowing the usefulness of God's Word. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and said that all Scripture is God-breathed. And we talked to Monday about the origin of God's Word. It is His Word. It came from Him. And it's useful. It's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting. And we've talked about those three things the last 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And today we're going to wrap up the broadcast part of the week talking about God's Word being useful for training, and specifically training in righteousness. Tomorrow's part of the prayer guide, which this comes from, Saturday, we don't do a Saturday broadcast, gives the reason that God's Word is useful for all of these things, and when we allow it to be used in teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, then we are equipped for every good work. But as we focus in on the idea of God's Word being useful for training, I want to take a quick look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul's first letter to Timothy. And Paul writes, and God says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." The contrast there is, what is it that you're listening to? What is it that you're paying attention to? What is it that you're allowing to influence your thoughts and therefore your actions? And I think it's very easy for any of us to fall into the trap of being influenced by godless myths and old wives' tales. We just labeled that two categories differently. We might in today's world have gotten a letter from Paul that says have nothing to do with social media myths. Have nothing to do with gossip that you find online. Have nothing to do with the partisan tales of peddlers of falsehood. And we're generally pretty good about that if those peddlers of falsehood, well, they're not like us. They're from the other side. We have a greater tendency to accept the peddlers of falsehood that we want to agree with. And the difficulty is when we begin to put more weight and emphasis on what people say and what they believe and how they want us to act, we're allowing them to train us rather than being trained by God's Word. It's not that we hide in a cave and turn off all electronic devices and become unaware of what's going on around us. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am suggesting that we, perhaps daily, do an evaluation of what influences me the most in how I think, in how I act, in how I make decisions. And I can tell you from experience, it's pretty easy to allow online news sources, and I use that term news sources fairly loosely, to unduly influence us more than we allow God's Word to influence us. And the importance of being trained in righteousness is that we allow God's Word to train us. Training is typically a process. If you're going to run a marathon, very few people get up one morning and say, you know what? I saw advertised a marathon in town, and I think I'll show up and run. 26 miles, 26.2 miles, I believe. No, people that do that train for it. And I suspect there are some who inadvertently train and could just show up and run 26.2 miles because their lifestyle is such that they've trained for other things that would equip them to do that. But for most of us, that would be an unreasonable expectation. And especially those who seek to excel at it put a lot of time and effort into training their physical body, their mind, their entire being to be able to accomplish that goal. And it begins early. And it takes place over many months until they're ready. And that's what God is talking about when he says his word is useful in training us in righteousness. It's this continual process that we allow his word to, as we've talked about already, to teach us, rebuke us, correct us, so that we know what's right. And so that we do what's right. This training involves practice. It involves a new way of thinking. It involves our physical being. It involves our mental being. It involves our spiritual being. And when we do that, we can begin to run the race that's set before us, the race that Paul talks about, that we train ourselves so that we're not disqualified through lack of preparation. Instead, we finish the race. And in God's view, the race set before us is an eternal race, or at least a race to our eternal destination, is probably a better way of putting it. There is a time that we complete it, and we receive the crown, the victor's crown, the reward. But it comes through living God's word, obeying God's word, practicing God's word. And when, to do that, we find ourselves in nearly constant need of rejecting the word of the world. The persuasion of people. The temptations of the enemy. That shape our mind into, at least want to shape our mind into thinking that sin isn't all that bad. That it's okay to lust a little bit. It's okay to envy a little bit. It's okay to have a little bit of greed. And there are all kinds of things that we allow to be planted in our mind by the godless myths of social media. We kind of create our own unwritten list of trusted sources, but instead of checking them against God's word, we check them against what we want to believe. Instead of checking if they're exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, are they loving, joyful, kind, patient, self-controlled? You see, those are the things that we ought to be filling our mind with. Even if the facts happen to be accurate, the attitude that we pick up can be very damaging to our spirit, to our righteousness. They may be things that make us angry in a way that's sinful. I'm not saying all anger is sinful. God says to be angry and do not sin. But we must be careful that we're not allowing the godless myths and old wives' tales of our day to win. And so we train using God's word in what is right. We train in righteousness so that we are equipped for every good work. We become the light of the world that Jesus says we ought to be. And we do so through the training of God's word. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has given us all that we need in order to be trained for righteousness. You've given us your word. It's been breathed out by you into the very ears and heart and mind and fingers of men who have written it down. And you've made it so it's useful. And as we use it in the proper way, we find that it trains us for what is right. It trains us in all righteousness, the things that we ought to think, the things that we ought to do, the things that we ought to believe. It trains us to reject the godless myths and old wives' tales of our day and to cling to that which is good and right, that which is godly, that which is from you. And so, God, today I pray that you would help each one of us as we live life, that the powers of this age would not have hold on us, that the things that we're exposed to in whatever setting it might be would be seen as lesser compared to your word. Father, that we would constantly use your word as the standard. Not just for the content of what is good and right, but for the attitude, for the delivery of what is good and right. Father, may the fruit of your Spirit be seen and evident in our life, that we would lift up Jesus, that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Friday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.